consider, if you will, a couple of museums in the state of New York. The first is in New York City, just across the street from Central Park. It's a mammoth structure called the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I mean, this place is gigantic, displaying thousands of works by hundreds of artists in dozens of genres over several time periods. In this museum, you'll see old pieces of ancient Greek works and ancient Romans and the Egyptians. So you'll see old things and you'll see new, modern pieces by El Greco. Here you can view the deep, rich oils of Rembrandt, as well as paintings from the realist period like by Jean-François Millet. The French Impressionists are also here, with their bright scenes by Monet and Renoir. And there are a lot of American Impressionists here too. Winslow Homer, paintings by Mary Cassatt, and even post-impressionists like Van Gogh. You can see some still life by Goya and some abstract offerings by Kandinsky and Picasso. And the list just, it goes on and on. All sorts of things offered there. And even this year alone, there are 23 exhibits that are going to come and go through the year on all sorts of topics, ranging from pottery to photography to art from the Korean Golden Period, as it's called. And then, in sharp contrast, in upstate New York, along the St. Lawrence River, there's this little museum. It's in the town called Ogdensburg. Small town, very quaint museum. But when you walk in, you'll see that this museum is all Frederick Remington and only Frederick Remington. He depicted scenes of the Old West and the American Indians, the U.S. Cavalry, even scenes from the Spanish-American War, which he witnessed. He painted for a New York newspaper. He's probably most well known for his impressive sculptures of horses. Very realistic. Now, taking a step out of the museum concept, isn't it sad when people open up to the Old Testament and all they really see is a variety of disconnected, unrelated stories? It's truly sad when they view the Old Testament as just a set of historically irrelevant fairy tales. But the Old Testament really is kind of like a museum. And more to the point, it's like the Remington Museum. Sure, there's a lot in there, but only one person is on display. And Jesus taught this plainly to his disciples when he ascended into heaven, for instance. He said, "These are the words which I spoke to you, spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Jesus also taught this, that he's present in the Old Testament to his enemies. He told them, to the Jewish scholars, he said, "But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." I think in that debate a couple nights ago, Ken Ham basically said this to Bill Nye several times. "You just don't believe in Jesus." Jesus went on to say to those Jewish scholars, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So these Old Testament scriptures pointed to Jesus, and Jesus said as much in a passage like this. And when we do look back at the Old Testament, we should look for imagery of Jesus. When we use the lens, the Jesus lens, we see pictures of our Savior in many of the stories, through the people, through the events, even through objects in the Old Testament. And actually, some people are called a type of Christ, like Adam, who is a type of Him who was to come. But Jesus is the better Adam. We know that Adam chose to rebel. He failed in the Garden of Eden. Jesus, who is called the second Adam, did not fail in the Garden of Gethsemane. Instead of hiding from God and covering his shame, he went before God in prayer and covered the shame of all. Other types of Christ include Melchizedek, the high priest, objects such as the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, you entered the tabernacle to go to God. Well, we in the New Testament, we can do that now through Scripture and in our hearts, right directly to Jesus that way. Events like the Passover, great types of Christ or pictures of Christ. And the animal, like the scapegoat, a type of Christ. We do have to be careful, though, don't we? We mustn't go too far when we compare people or things to Jesus Christ, who's our perfect Savior. In other words, we probably shouldn't call someone or something a type of Christ that the Bible does not. Still, weaving throughout the Old Testament, we see a fabric that is Jesus Christ. And even if someone isn't directly called a type of Christ, it's still fascinating and interesting to find Jesus in so many of the circumstances in the Bible. And I'm going to give you, a few examples right now, like Abel. And Jesus is the better Abel, who lost his life to his own brother. So also Jesus heard his own Israelite brothers mocking and shouting for him to be crucified. Jesus is the better Noah, who built an ark to save people from the flood. Jesus became the true ark, so that all who enter him would have eternal life. Jesus is the better Abraham, who left his homeland to walk in obedience by faith. Jesus left his homeland to bring faith to all of us. Jesus is the better Isaac, who carried wood to the place of his sacrifice, just as Jesus would later carry his cross to Calvary. Jesus is the better Joseph, who after suffering was appointed to the right hand of the Pharaoh of Egypt, and he forgave those who betrayed him. So too Jesus is now at the right hand of God, extending grace and the law of the new covenant on our hearts. Oh, excuse me, I skipped ahead. Just like Joseph, Jesus extended grace to us who betrayed him. Jesus is also the better Moses. Moses was the mediator between God and man, and also presented the law on tables of stone. And Jesus is now the only mediator between God and man, giving us the law of the new covenant on our hearts. Here's a picture of Samson. Jesus is the better Samson? Well, Samson pulled down the house upon himself to destroy his enemies. Jesus took God's wrath down upon himself and spared his enemies. Jesus is the better Boaz, who redeemed Ruth and brought her into the community of believers. Jesus did the same to us. Jesus is the better Solomon, astounding the teachers in the temple with his wisdom and understanding at the age of 12. And the comparisons go on and on, like with Esther and Job, and with Jonah, who spent 3 days in the belly of the fish because he ran away from the will of God. Jesus spent 3 days in the grave because he went to Jerusalem. And it does go on and on. And the question is, how are we to view these comparisons? Well, it's the same way we view parables. In a parable, We don't look at every earthly detail and try to find a corresponding spiritual equivalent. Instead, we look for the central spiritual truth. And in the Old Testament, the central spiritual truth points to Jesus. Jesus is the better prophet, the better high priest, the better King of Kings, the better Lamb for the sacrifice. Jesus is better. We sing of that with the words on the screen.